Well, well, here we are.
All right, people, we're gonna try something a little different today.
No, I do mind. The dude minds. This will not stand.
The only true wisdom is in knowing you know nothing.
That's us, dude.
I cannot solve your problem, sir. Only you can.
Don't mess with the bull, young man. You'll get the horns.
Do you understand the words that are coming out of my mouth?
I'm gonna tell you something, and I want you to listen tight. It may sound like I'm talking about me, but I'm not. I'm talking about you. As a matter of fact, I'm talking about all people everywhere.
Discussing the issues that actually matter. Finding the answers using logic and reason. Now here is the host of Rush to Reason, John Rush.
And I'm your host, John Rush, Rush to Reason, KLZ 560. Thanks for joining us today. Myself, Kurt Rogers, now for this hour, Affordable Interest Mortgage. I want to say again a special thanks to Rachel Keene, conservative mama, joining us on Thursdays like she does. We always have a good time, and it's a fast 2 hours. It'll be a fast hour with Kurt as well. We got a lot to talk about. So we should actually probably not only just get started, Kurt, but we were talking to Rachel, you know, kind of in between and on the way right out, and she had some great questions that really are probably staple questions a lot of people out there. If she's asking it, others are as well.
Yes, I hear it all the time.
And so we should probably answer even some of Rachel's questions and move on to some of the things we were talking about or going to talk about when it comes to appraisals and things like that. Where is the market headed? What are your thoughts?
All indications that will continue at a strong pace into 21. Should be all the way through 21 and into 22 for a lot of different reasons. The market will continue to increase. Right now, some people say 10%, some people say 15%. If it's 8%, we're still okay.
5%, we're still okay.
Yeah, I mean, so everything is fine there. So it's just going to keep going. And there's a lot of reasons for that.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody keeps wanting to bring up 2008. They need
this isn't 2008,
it's not even
folks.
Close.
No, it's not
there's
close.
There's too many other things that have changed.
Every time I hear somebody talk about, well, it happened in 08, I keep thinking, yeah, it did. That's a true statement.
Yes.
But it's not the same.
It was self-inflicted then.
We have a totally different set of circumstances today that are driving up home values than we did in 2000 and, you know, 6 and 7 that drove what happened in 2008. Actually, probably all the way going all the way back to 2003 and 4 drove what happened in 2008. So the reality is we have many things that are different today than we had back then. And trust me, folks, I watch this stuff on a pretty routine basis. Why? Because it's what I do. I mean, I know this better than I do the stock market. I'm not a stock market guy. Right. I don't know that end of things. I bring Scott Garlis on, who was just with us a minute ago from Stansberry's Research, because he understands that and I don't. Now, when it comes to real estate, I live, eat, breathe, and sleep the real estate side of it. Why? Because that's where I have my money invested. I understand that part of it. And does it mean we're never going to have a hiccup in the real estate market? Of course not. You know, you are going to have adjustments from time to time in every market. Although, I'm going to add a caveat to the real estate market right now. Anytime you have more people wanting to buy homes than you have homes available for those people, you're going to have house prices increase.
Correct.
Which is what we're seeing right
now. Supply and demand.
Supply
and
demand.
Across the board.
The only thing, literally, folks, the way I see it, and Kurt can correct me if I'm wrong, but the only thing that I see that could potentially crash everything, because it wouldn't just be the housing market, it would be literally everything, is if all of a sudden we had some big, huge event that drove us into a deep, dark, not recession, but depression, that literally took everything and literally wiped everything out, and nobody had any place to live, stay, whatever, we'd be in a whole different world at that point, but we'd be in a whole different world. None of this would matter anyways.
Yeah, if you had some financial issues in other countries, some major countries had some financial issue and it affected the world economy. Yeah, it's going to happen.
Right.
I don't see it.
Yeah. Now, there are those out there that would say the opposite too could affect the housing world. And that would be, you know, huge, huge, you know, hyperinflation where things just run away. Yeah, that could have an effect too, because if it gets to the point where nobody can afford to buy a house and they can't afford to buy the house that you have either, and that could have a huge, major effect as well. Although, as much as I don't like the inflation numbers we have right now, they're nowhere as close to what hyperinflation would be.
Agreed. And I've read many articles on that throughout the week. The feds are not worried about inflation. They anticipate it's going to keep at this pace for the next 90 to 120 days. They firmly believe it's going to settle at that. That's why they're not changing rates.
Right.
That's why you're still able to get money cheap. And how it works and the way money flows through the system is important.
Now, I will disagree with them because I think it's going to be longer than 90 to 120 days, although I do believe there will be some leveling out because as things start to readjust and we get supply lines back up and we get more people working and things like that start to come back into play, that in and of itself will have some impact upon the things that we're talking about. Although, here's the caveat to that. What Kurt and I are talking about with houses, everything I just said makes that part worse. In other words, it will even drive housing prices up more than they currently are now because more people will be looking at either moving around, moving in, whatever the case may be.
Correct.
Again, the one thing, and Kurt and I have talked about this some, but this is one thing you're not hearing from any pundits, any quote-unquote experts, and I can't believe we don't hear from these individuals on this topic in this manner, and it's this. There are two generations now after the baby boomers that are actually three, but two that are able to buy houses now that are.
Yes.
And there's 100 and, you know, probably 125 million of the individuals I just mentioned outside of the baby boomers that are getting into the housing market now that were not in the housing market prior. So when you start bringing that many people into the market that are looking to live and own a home and so on, it this is partly why we have some of the lack of inventories we have, by the way, not just here, but Arizona and all parts of the country, other than, which by the way is also contributing to this, other than these inner city, you know, downtown Denver, places like that, where yes, they have been hurt by what's gone on during the pandemic. But outside of that, most every real estate market across the country is doing well.
Everybody, yeah. There's so many people moving off the east and the west coast that are moving into different parts of the country, Florida, Texas, Ohio. They're just moving, and it's causing a demand that nobody was used to, and those prices are going to continue. You talk about age groups. The millennials are
buying houses now
more. They've decided to wait that, you know, an extra 5 to 8 years to get in the market from what the baby boomers did, and that's causing, they are the biggest segment of buying homes right now.
Well, what happened with the millennials, I believe, and I haven't interviewed any, but I think what's happened with them is, you know, they were that generation that for a while said, oh, I don't want my folks have, I don't want the big yard, I don't want the maintenance, I don't want to have to mess with all that stuff. You know, I just want to live my life and live on experience. I love experiences, so I want to travel, I want to do this, I want to do that. Well, what's happened with a lot of these folks is they've either gone through some of those experiences and realized that, oh, this isn't all that great after all, and they've now started to settle down and build a family, and they're realizing, ooh, I have a kid or two, and I don't know that I want to live in an apartment or even some patio home where, yeah, I don't have any maintenance, but I have no place to take my kids to either. So what they're figuring out is, oh, I guess the way mom and dad did this wasn't so bad after all.
Right.
So they're now starting to buy the homes that mom and dad lived, you know, that they grew up in is what I'm trying to say.
Correct.
Am I right?
That is correct. They are the biggest share.
There's been a shift.
And many have moved, like you mentioned, out of downtown Denver, and they've moved to the suburb, which causes more demand on the outlying areas.
Yeah, because the original thought with the millennial, and not every millennial, but a lot of millennials, that original thought, Charlie knows this, was let's buy a loft. Let's go downtown Denver. We'll go above one of our favorite restaurants or bar. We'll live in the loft up above it. It'll be cool. It'll be trendy. It'll be really great, so on and so forth. And that's the life we want to live. Well, once they did that for a few years, they've decided that, oh, well, maybe this isn't so great. After all, the pandemic, I think, adjusted a lot of people's values as well when it came to some of those things. And some of those individuals decided, oh, I think I want a house with a yard. I don't think I want to live right next to my neighbor. I don't think I want a wall separating me from my neighbor. I'd like a little space in between me and my neighbor. Or I'm going to go up into the mountains and live. Or I'm going to go to the suburbs and live. Or, and that's what's happening. Am I right?
That is correct. I mean, the numbers justify
so
what
you're saying. So why am you and I, by the way, on air, one of the few people, because I look at the articles and so on, why are we some of the only people talking about this?
Because this doesn't sell as much as the negative sells.
Ah.
In my opinion.
I see.
There's people that if you talk negative, it kind of makes, okay, I'll go along with that because the world's falling apart. The world's coming to an end. That kind of, so they're going along with that, and that's not true.
No, we're actually bringing money into the real estate market, into the housing market, by the way, that we've actually not brought in before.
Correct.
It's a good thing.
And it's not much different. And you've been in this industry before than the car business. Go out and try to find a car.
You can't right now.
It's insane what's going on.
They're not there.
And that's an indicator that there's so much demand they can't catch up. I know it's a chip problem,
right,
but they still can't catch up to what's there. And it's going to take a while before that happens.
Yeah, that pipeline's going to take a while to fill up, folks.
Yep.
So, and I believe that's the same way when it comes to housing. That pipeline is empty right now. It's going to take a year or two to even start to fill that pipeline up to where it's even somewhat stable. Keep in mind, in Colorado, we normally run off of an inventory level, oh gosh, somewhere in the 20 to 30,000 range, depending upon what time of the year it is and what's going on economically and so on. But let's even go to the low side and say it's 20,000, okay, statewide inventory, which, by the way, seems like a big number, but when you talk about 5.5 million people, 20,000 isn't much. Take a zero off that today, folks, and that's our inventory levels in the metro area. Take a zero off. It's around 2 to 2,500 homes. 2,000 to 2,500 homes is all.
Yeah, you're right.
That's it.
That's not, it's a 3-week supply.
Folks, it's not enough.
No.
It's not enough. And by the way, this is the other thing, and Kurt laughs at me every time I say this because he won't say this, but I will. I look at what's for sale because I browse around and look periodically. There are some exceptions to what I'm going to say here. And so for those of you that maybe have a house on the market or what have you, I'm not trying to step on anybody's toes, but most of what's for sale in that 2,500 figure is crap.
Mm-hmm.
They're a quote unquote high, you know, they're a fixer upper that somebody wants a premium price for. That's what I mean by crap. These are not, you know, turnkey homes in most cases.
No,
the turnkey
not,
homes are getting auctioned off, by the way.
Yeah, they're not getting upgraded.
No, I don't mean auctioned off literally, but they are. They'll go for sale on one day and 15 people will come in and bid the price up. Those are the homes that are really nice that are turnkey that are selling fast. If there's a house on the market that's sitting there any more than 48 hours, it has problems. It's either in a bad location, people don't like the house, it is a fixer-upper, it's got lime green carpet and appliances. I can go down the list. Am I right?
That you are correct. They're just not moving as fast. But anything at $450,000 and up, if it's got any kind of upgrades,
it's gone.
One of our loan officers is selling his house. It hit the market, and the first day he's got 18 appointments.
18.
They can't get to him until Friday.
18.
But he's got 18 appointments. That was on Wednesday.
He'll have it sold by Saturday.
And all they're looking at is pictures.
Yeah, he'll have it sold by Saturday.
And mainly because of the area where it's selling. It's going to sell quickly.
Folks, again, the other thing is bringing it up. We'll talk about this through this next 45 minutes as well as investors are affecting this market as well. You know, they're buying homes knowing that at some point in time people are going to have to rent homes, things along those lines. And the other thing we talked about really in our Monday Mortgage Minutes, Kurt and I have, people are buying second homes as well. They're buying that vacation property that they've always wanted to buy. And that's affecting things as well because that takes inventory out of the markets when they do those things. Because if they go buy a second home and don't sell the home they're in now, they just took one home out of the marketplace.
Correct.
Right?
On somebody that maybe wanted to move up in the mountains or wherever it is and retire, sell their home, they just took that opportunity away.
That's right. So we'll come right back, folks. Don't go anywhere. Questions for Kurt or myself, give us a call, 303-477-5600. We'd love to chat with you. And any question, by the way, and you can even disagree with us. If you think things are headed a different direction, call me, disagree, tell me your, I mean, I want to hear. If there's something that I'm not seeing and there's some underlying issues that I need to know about, please alert me. I'll look into it, and I'd love to know your thoughts. Gino's Auto Service is up next, folks. As I always say, keep that vehicle running in the best condition you can. Kurt and I just mentioned a moment ago, there are new cars to buy. So keep your used car running as long as you can. And by the way, it's bringing top dollar as well. And I'll give you some tips on Drive Radio this weekend when it comes to selling yours and buying new and when to time that. We'll talk about that also. GinosAutoservice.com. That's Gino's with a J, 303-794-6700.
Now's the time to take advantage of Gino's Napa Break Special. This month, get a $50 Napa prepaid Visa card with a qualifying Napa Brakes parts purchase of $250 or more. For over 38 years, Gino's Auto Service has been serving Littleton and customers along the Front Range. At Gino's, their team recommends checking your brakes every 5,000 miles. Stop in this week and they'll check your brakes for free. As members of Colorado Select Auto Care, the Gino's team will back up their work with Napa's nationwide peace of mind warranty. To make your life simpler, Gino's offers loaner vehicles so you can drop off your car and pick it up when ready. Gino's continues their public service work, partnering with Hands of the Carpenter and donating work on vehicles for single mothers or women in need. Check out all their Google reviews for a good snapshot of their business. They're AAA approved and located at Bowles and Platte Canyon. Stop in or visit them online at GinosAutoservice.com. That's Gino's with a J.
All right, Franktown Firearms, folks, is next. And what do I say? Outside of them having inventory, it's only a day now to get a gun. They've got ammo, which, by the way, is probably more scarce at times than the actual firearm itself is, but they have ammo and all the training, and they're going to help young kids understand what owning a gun and being around them really means. And to me, that's really, really, really important. So, Franktown Firearms, find them at klzradio.com, 720-770-7777.
Preserve your liberty, protect your family, and have fun at the same time. Everyone at Franktown Firearms has the same goal: to fire off some freedom seeds safely and confidently. That common goal builds relationships based on shared values and mutual respect, which makes Franktown Firearms one of the few places you can preserve your liberty, protect your family, and have fun at the same time. Because they maintain good relationships with suppliers, treat customers with respect, and offer lower tax rates, Franktown Firearms continues to sell guns and ammo at or below MSRP. But they don't only want you to buy a gun. They want to see you develop confidence through practice. Fill out the contact form now at klzradio.com/franktown for $50 off your initiation fee, plus your first month free. Range members, first responders, and military veterans receive discounts in the shop, as well as discounts on all classes. Franktown Firearms, where friends are made.
This is Rush to Reason on KLZ 560.
All right, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Myself, Kurt Rogers from Affordable Interest Mortgage. By the way, any questions you've got for Kurt directly, give him a call, 720-895-0500. Again, 720-895-0500. Okay, before we get into some of these other topics, I did want to talk about, because I promoted this, and I want to make sure we cover it, so I'm going to do it now, appraisals. And I sent you an article today, which I thought was very interesting. Not that
so
that's what
I.
we were going to cover, but it's a very interesting article. There is an article out there today of a situation that happened, I believe, in Indiana.
Indiana, yes.
Where a black lady, I'll just say what it is because you'll read about it, a black lady who bought a home.
2017
for X amount of dollars.
$100,000.
By the way, very smart lady.
Yep.
She's looking at the market, like me. She's looking at the market. She pretty much knows that, hey, things are going up. I'd like to do a few things. I'm going to go ahead and redo my mortgage because, A, I can change my rate. Plus, I can pull some cash out.
Her sister
Why
refinanced
not?
Her home in the neighborhood for $198,000 when she paid $117,000.
Right. So she's thinking, hey, I've got a house that's worth somewhere around $200,000 or so. Let's do this. So she gets two appraisals. And by the way, in the process of the appraisal, she fills in that she's black. And, of course, she has all of her family photos up and so on and so forth. Well, the appraisals come back, one at like 110 and the other at like 117.
Yeah.
And she's thinking, wait a minute. My sister's just appraised for 190. What's going on here? So she gets a third appraisal, takes all of the documentation out that says she's black, takes all the pictures off the wall so no one knows what her race is. And all of a sudden, the house appraises for like 2.25.
She had a white husband of a friend of hers be in the house. So when the person came in, they thought that maybe a white person owned it.
Right. 2.25 now.
It's 259.
Sorry, 259 it appraises for.
It went from 117 to 259.
259. Folks, that's wrong.
Oh,
that's as wrong as wrong can be.
And she did exactly what she was supposed to do. She filed the complaints with the CFPB.
And by the way, good
the
for
labor
her.
Board, she did it all.
Good for her. And you know what? That's garbage. And I will tell you that, because I've experienced this, I won't get into all of the details, but Kurt knows that I do believe that appraisers, and even some in this area right now, are appraising houses, and they are putting their own bias into what they think the market should be doing, not what people are willing to pay, but what the market, you know, what they feel the market should be doing. They're putting their own bias into it and appraising houses accordingly. Now, I understand that just because a house has an offer and somebody's willing to pay a particular price doesn't necessarily mean the house is worth that. Okay.
Correct.
I get that. But if week after week after week after week, there's a particular neighborhood or there's a particular section of town where that same thing is happening over and over and over again, then that's what the houses are worth, like it or not.
Agreed.
Right?
Agreed. They are. And I did, I talked about this Tuesday, as a matter of fact, on Your Money Matters. Appraisers are required to look at a house in three different areas to start with. They have to look at the distance that the other house is.
Okay.
They have to look at the gross living
area.
As far
as the comps go.
These are your comps. They have to look at the gross living area.
Okay.
And they have to look at the time. When
how
did
long
the,
ago?
How long ago? They're supposed to go back no more than 6 months, no more than a half a mile, and no more than 15% of the square footage, you know, a ranch to a ranch, a bi-level to a bi-level. That's what they're supposed to do.
Sometimes
they
that's hard
the
to do, though.
They have the latitude to do different.
Right, because sometimes they can't.
Right, and where that creates problems, and we saw that some people won't go out of the, they'll go out of the area to prove something when they should have stayed in this area to get it.
Right.
Because they're looking to keep the value at a certain things, and they have to justify it with the comps.
Right.
Doesn't happen often. It does. You can always contest an appraisal. We did.
Mm-hmm. On mine.
My comment on when you go to contest an appraiser, you're going back to the guy that appraised the house and telling him that he has to publicly say, I did a bad job the first time. Here's the new value.
That's hard to do because it doesn't happen. They don't want to redo that.
No, they're
not
going
to want to admit a mistake.
No, they won't.
Yeah, they just won't do it.
Yeah.
Because now you're talking their integrity.
Right.
So they won't do that.
The problem with this, these people in Indiana, it's more than just them. The fact that they took the house from 100 to 117,000, and they did that over a three-year period of time, all appraisers work for or get their business from an AMC. The AMC is the company that's supposed to review that appraisal before it gets sent out to the lender. So where do they miss? Because if they're doing comps, they're seeing comps at 200
that's
or
right.
two and a quarter.
That's
they
right. Somebody missed that one too.
Same thing goes to the lender. The lenders are in trouble on this because at the same time, they won't take one that's over. They can't take one that's underneath. That's called
that
redlining,
well.
Especially when the lady is black. That's redlining. That's a problem. So there's more people than just the appraisers that got problem in this deal.
Dumb. By the way, dumb. Especially in this day and age, folks. First of all, there's no reason to do that. No matter what color you are, what race you are, how old you are, how young you are, the value is the value is the value is the value. Period. Doesn't matter who lives in the house.
You know why she went to three? Because when she went, if she had $100,000 and it comes in at 117, she couldn't get the loan approved. She
right.
needed money.
Right.
Same thing with 110. When she went to the third lender, they had the right appraiser. Now, I'm not saying because they put the white guy in the place, but they might have had the right appraiser, and he appraised the house,
not
anything
the person.
Else. That's correct.
Yeah, and by the way, I think there's times where, I'll just tell you this. I've been the victim of this on more than one occasion. There's times where they appraise the person and they don't appraise the house.
Correct.
And by the way, appraisers, if you're doing that, shame on you. You should be appraising the property for its value only, not for the people that live in it. Am I right, Kurt?
Yes, I agree with
what
that.
I'm saying really is appraisers, get rid of your bias. Get rid of your bias, period. Because a lot of you have it. Get rid of it.
Yep.
You need to be independent. You need to look at a house for what it is. I'm also one that says you don't need to overappraise something. I mean, if a house is worth something, it's worth something. I get it. And you need to back up that value. There were times back in my history where, and Kurt's as well, where a lot of folks got into trouble because banks had sort of these inside deals with certain appraisers. They would go in and overappraise the house to get the values up,
correct.
To make the loan work and so on. I'm not going to validate that either.
The problem was worse before. It's better, but it's still got problems.
Yeah. So I'm not saying that's good either,
no.
folks. I'm never going to advocate for somebody coming in and appraising something for more than it's actually worth because that's not good either. And I know it's an appraisal. It's not an exact figure. It's not an exact science. I get there's some subjectivity that comes into play when you do some of these things. All I'm asking appraisers that are out there, and some of you are probably listening to me right now, is you know what? You just need to be fair with the house itself and get rid of all the other biases you may or may not have.
Yeah.
You may not like where the market's going. Tough. It is what it is.
The appraisers also have a burden now because the values are moving so fast. How do they keep up with
it? I understand that
That's
as well.
That's a hard part for them.
I get that. I fully understand.
And I have many friends that are appraisers, and I call them up on that article, and that they do have that problem. How do you keep up with the values moving in such speed?
Well, to me, you know, I'm just going to say it, Kurt. You got to work harder than the next guy. That's what you do. I mean, how do you keep up on this? You work harder than the next
guy.
You're
supposed to, yes.
That's how you do this. That's the way you win and succeed and get ahead is you outwork the next guy. So what do? You study at night. You study in the day. You make sure that you understand the area. You know, you do all the things necessary, and you don't get bogged down into just doing, you know, one thing at a time.
Yeah.
Just being honest.
Well, many lenders have gone to a program called, well, I call it the AVM, which the if you your loan to value is at a certain level or below, the lenders aren't even requiring an appraisal.
Got it.
They're just waiving it.
Mark, hang tight. We'll get you in just 1 second. Extreme Auto Repair is coming up next. You guys hear me all the time talk about Extreme. Right now, go to klzradio.com and look for the Extreme link there. And when you do that, click on it, fill it out. You get free wiper blades or a tire rotation from Extreme. So again, that's klzradio.com or call Extreme Direct 303-841-1071.
Go with your gut. You know when an estimate from a mechanic doesn't feel right. Maybe they're telling you to fix a bunch of stuff you didn't even know was broken. Maybe their prices seem surprisingly high. The team at Extreme Auto Repair in Parker will give you a second opinion for free, so you know what's reasonable and what's not. They can typically beat the prices of their competitors, but they won't hold it against you if you decide to go back to the first guy. Either way, you have the peace of mind. The team at Extreme Auto Repair wants to keep you safe and keep your vehicle on the road longer, but they never want to pressure you into repairs that you don't really need. So with every estimate, the team at Extreme Auto Repair will give you a priority list showing you all of your recommended maintenance items in order from the most to least important. That way, you decide what you want to take care of now and what can wait until later. Free second opinions at klzradio.com/extreme. Promises kept.
Hi, this is Al Smith with Golden Eagle Financial. Join me at a workshop at Ruth Chris Steakhouse Tuesday evening, the 25th of May. To register, go to klzradio.com/money.
Stay up to date with Rush to Reason after the show on Twitter at Rush to Reason and on Facebook.com/Rush to Reason.
All right, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Thanks for joining us. Myself, Kurt Rogers, Affordable Interest Mortgage, with us this hour. Mark, you are up next. What's going on, sir?
Hello, gentlemen. How are you today?
Good, sir.
Hey, Oddly enough, I was just in that situation. I just signed closing docs for a refi on Monday.
Okay.
I am convinced that the appraisal, we told the appraiser he doesn't have to wear a mask in the house, and his whole countenance changed. He got an attitude, and I really feel I got screwed on my appraisal. I should have been, I'm thinking about 76% loan to value, and he came in 3,000 shy of 80% to value. So that said, since it's hard to contest an appraisal, do I have any recourse? Because now I'm stuck with that PMI for at least another year.
That's a great question.
The AMC, is there something I could go after it with that, or
with the lender?
I don't know.
You can get a hold of DORA, Department of Regulatory Authority on Real Estate. They have a department for appraisers that you can contest. I know, and as a consumer, when you contest it, they pay much more attention to it than if I was to contest it. What you can do is if you look around and are able to get some comps of homes that have sold, maybe have a realtor that can tell you what sold within 60 days of your home, give you five or six of those that can match up to your type home. You then have what I call bullets to where you can communicate with DORA, and they will take action. I know of an appraiser that got hit pretty hard because they missed.
Thanks, Kirk. I have one more other question.
Sure.
What if there's really no legitimate comps available?
That's tough.
I live in a condo complex, and they've been selling lots of three bedrooms, but none of the two bedrooms in a timely fashion in the area that I'm at. And my real estate agent that I work with, she really couldn't even find any comps.
A one-bedroom comp versus a two or three is much harder to get a comp for than a two or three-bedroom. If there's three bedrooms that are being sold,
two baths, there just wasn't any in that complex.
Even though there's not many there, there's still it's a pretty easy value to give because a bedroom and an extra bath or a half bath have predetermined values.
Right. Right, square footage wise, and so on.
They're not questionable.
This isn't hard.
It's but when you get to that off unit, which is a one bedroom, which is very rare, that's when you have a harder time getting comps. If they can't find two bedroom comps, it doesn't mean you can't get a value for the property.
Yeah, because you can use a three bedroom and just knock it down square footage wise, Mark, and make it work. That's not
correct.
Tough. You can do the same thing, by the way.
That's what I thought. Okay, great. Thanks, guys.
And by the way, I think you're correct on what you said earlier because I sort of had that same experience. So I know precisely what you're talking about, Mark. I'm with you there. I gotcha.
Yeah, when we asked him to take off his shoes, that was the end of it. Yep. It was like, oh my God, hold on to your seat.
Yep. Go do what Kurt said.
All right, thanks guys.
Mark. Appreciate it. And by the way, that's how we keep things in check. We're not trying to beat up on anybody by any stretch of the imagination. But folks, this is how we keep things, you know, honest and keep things straight and so on. And let me just share this with you all. It always bothers me when anyone in business puts their personal bias into how we're going to take care of a customer. I used to get all over my guys if I felt like they were putting some personal bias into something. You know, I used to always have this saying, never judge the book by the cover when they walk in the showroom door. You know, that guy walking in a three-piece suit may not be able to afford a tire. The guy walking in bib overalls might be able to buy the store. So I used to train my people, do not second guess or prejudge someone when they walk in that door, because when you do, it's going to come back to bite you. I also used to caution technicians, because I used to get technicians at times where, you know, there'd be a particular vehicle and maybe there was something about that vehicle they did not like. Period. They just didn't like it.
They didn't like working on it because it was difficult.
They didn't like whatever the case may be.
Yep.
And, you know, we'd sometimes go round and round about, well, it really doesn't make any difference what you think. The customer's paying the bill. The customer brought it in. We're going to service it. We're going to take care of them. And this really isn't your decision. Well, that happens more often than you all think out there. And trust me, in the appraisal world, it's happening as well. I'm not crazy.
No.
Right?
It's also happening in the lending portion of it. Surprisingly enough, it is.
And by the way, folks, none of this should be happening.
Nope.
To me, these are all very, should be transparent transactions where, to the point with Mark a moment ago, you can go find comps, you can go look at what other things are selling for. Folks, this isn't rocket science. It just isn't.
Not in today's market, no.
I mean, I hate to say this, but I could probably appraise most houses today pretty easily because it's not that hard to find the comps and go do the homework and figure it out. Again, there are square footages and values of, and I get it, there are square footage values based upon interior finish and things along those lines, but again, that is subjective as well.
I call it calling balls and strikes.
Yeah.
Sometimes they miss the strike zone.
That's right. So, again, folks, please, if you've got any issues along those lines, as Kurt just said a moment ago, go to DORA. DORA Colorado is all you have to type in. You'll find it right there. Just go to that agency that Kurt was just talking about and get that figured out. All right. So, with all these recent changes, what's happening when it comes to folks wanting to divest? Because I've even encouraged people on this program to, you know, if they've got a bunch of cash they're sitting on, get out of that cash and get into something tangible, i.e. a rental property. What changes have happened there?
Well, the rental market is one of the reasons that there's not a whole lot of day supply of homes. The renters are buying homes simply because they only look at the cash flow, one of the main things. Meaning which, if they're going to borrow $400,000 on a house, that payment's low enough, it doesn't matter if the value of the house goes to $300,000. They're still collecting the rent. They're still making money. They're not worried about that because they're not doing it for short term. So the renters have gotten into the market. Now, recently, there's a lot of rental properties that are coming open for sale, and they're taking that money because of the capital gain increase that's coming in January. They're getting out what they can, pay less taxes, and turn around and reinvest that money into other rentals.
Which is hurting what we're – not hurting, but it's hurting, affecting what we're talking about.
What Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac has done, which is the governing bodies, they have decided to do what's called loan level pricing adjustments if you want to do an investment property loan. But that only affects certain lenders, meaning which if the lender does more than 7% of their business is investment property, the lender has to charge an extra fee.
Okay.
Well, guess what? All lenders say that they do more than 7%. Don't know if they do, don't know. But many of them, because their percentages are so high, they're charging 2 to 4 times as much as Fannie Mae says.
Wow.
So
that's a lot.
Yeah, because they want to get their numbers down. We have lenders that are charging very small and making it work, but there's others that are charging 2 and 3 points on top, not in rate, but in cost. $400,000 loan, that's $800,000.
Yeah.
And that's just because of this extra fee in hopes to slow some of this down. Not happening.
Okay.
That help?
Yeah. It's a good explanation. Folks, point being, there's a lot going on in the housing market itself, and you're hearing a lot of these stories of, which we're going to talk about next, of you know, somebody puts a home on the market. Kurt talked about it a moment ago with somebody in your office. So people are putting a home on the market literally before it hits the market. These realtors are out there, you know, testing the waters, letting their friends in the real estate world know what's coming up. And there's typically, you tell somebody by Thursday night that this thing's going on the market Saturday morning or Friday evening or whatever the magic number is, and before you know it, there's 10 or 15 offers.
And
right?
And what happened with this? When the agent put it out Wednesday morning at 12:01, it was available to be seen on the web. It was called Coming Soon. At that time, you could schedule an appointment. The earliest appointment was Friday. Within 18 hours, they had 18 appointments.
Okay, so let's take a break here in just a second, come back, give us a little bit longer segment. Let's say you're one of those 18 that are trying to jump on this house. Mm-hmm. Okay? We're going to walk through how that works, okay?
You got it.
All right, well, come right back. Don't go anywhere. Flesh and Beck is next. Kevin Flesh, he'd love to help you out with all of your legal needs. Doesn't matter what it is. He was on with us earlier this week. Smart guy. Whatever you need, just give him a call. By the way, one of the nicest guys you'll ever meet also. 303-806-8886. It's fleshlawfirm.com.
Avoid the pitfalls with Kevin Flesh. Picture this. You're in court before a judge and jury trying to get the at-fault party's insurance company to cover your hospital bills. And the defense attorney pulls out your medical records. Comparing what you said to the police at the scene of your injury to what your doctor transcribed, you've contradicted yourself. You start to get nervous. You don't want to look like an idiot, but you simply don't recall what you said to the police. That was a long time ago. KLC's personal injury attorney, Kevin Flesh of Flesh and Beck Law, prepares you for these kinds of questions so you never need to worry about what to say. Of course, the opposition will always try to call your credibility into question. But with Kevin Flesh, you always know exactly how to respond. Schedule a free consultation now at 303-806-8886. Kevin Flesh of Flesh and Beck Law. Trial tested. Trial ready.
Novus Auto Glass, folks, and as I say all the time, if you want those little clear stickers, we call them windshield band-aids, we'll send you those. Just go to klzradio.com, click on the Novus link, fill it out, and we'll get those sent off to you. Or you can pick those up for free at any of the Novus locations as well. Don't forget, too, they'll take care of that crack, that chip, the windshield replacement, whatever it happens to be, and they work with all the insurance companies as well. Again, Novus, Latin for innovate, they invented windshield repair. It's rushtoreason.com/Novus, that's spelled N-O-V-U-S.
As the inventor of windshield repair, Novus Auto Glass saves you money by repairing chips and cracks whenever possible. With their patented glass repair technology, Novus can tackle tougher cracks than the competition. In some cases, they can repair cracks up to a foot long, but you have a much better chance at a repair by acting fast. Something as simple as going through a car wash could make your little chip or crack irreparable. For KLZ listeners only, Novus will send you a packet of protective windshield stickers for free. Little pieces of specially designed tape to cover any chips or cracks as soon as they appear, like a bandage for your glass. Request your free windshield patches now at klzradio.com/glass. No matter what sort of damage you're dealing with, there's never any risk with a Novus repair. Should your windshield repair fail, they will credit the cost toward a replacement. klzradio.com/glass.
Networks change, benefits change, prescription plans change, and premium costs go up. So you want an independent broker who will compare plans from many different insurance companies, hunting for the right coverage at the best price for you. Group Insurance Analysts, 303-423-0162.
It's time to leave your safe space. This is Rush to Reason on KLZ 560.
And it is Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Myself, Kurt Rogers, Affordable Interest Mortgage, as he joins us every month, and we talk just the market, housing, interest, loans, how do you buy a house, especially in this market. That's what we're going to talk about now. So you're one of the 18 people that are now going to, quote unquote, put an offer in, bid is what it really ends up being, on a home. What do you need to do to come out at the top of the list outside of having pure cash?
First thing you have to do, in my opinion, is have an agent that knows that the market's been doing this. Please, nothing wrong with new agents, but in this market, this is a difficult market.
Okay.
You better have the experience on how to negotiate.
Okay.
You got to be able to sell your buyer to the seller.
So in other words, you got to sell the seller on you.
Yes, that's okay. Number one. Number two, okay. You got to make sure that you're pre-qualified or pre-approved. And when I say pre-approval, it's not like anything in the past. Now when you hand them that pre-approval letter, that listing agent picks up the phone and calls and asks some very deep questions, not personal, but they want to check that that lender has done their job correctly.
Okay.
And they know the questions to ask me. And I, if I hesitate, it can blow the whole deal. So okay. That you have to get to the real approval.
So in other words, they know that as a seller, if I'm the seller, you're the buyer, I know that I want to have somebody that can, A, get this thing closed in the time we agreed upon in the first place with no hiccups.
Correct.
And I can't do that as a seller if I know you're not approved.
Correct. The listing agents will call me all the time, and one of the questions they ask, how many conditions you got left on this loan? Now, unless you're in the business, you don't know what that means.
I know what that means.
And if I hesitate,
I
got a problem. Okay?
How many conditions have they not met yet?
That's right. And it better only be we need value.
Maybe those conditions are appraisal.
And a contract.
And appraisal, contract, and something else.
If I appraisal, contract, we're good to go. But if I say much more than that,
We're in trouble.
So those are some of the things that are happening. Third, and what you're seeing now, we talked about it with appraisers, there's a thing called appraisal concessions. You put your house out for $550,000 and everybody's fighting at $600,000.
Right, which, by the way, can happen.
Now, what that causes is some of the millennials that don't have the extra money to buy. What we've learned is we can show you how to buy and not have to have the extra money. What I mean by that is if the house appraises at $550,000 and that's the purchase price, but in order for you to buy it at $600,000, you got to come up with the 10, 15, 20% right. plus the $50,000.
Right.
I can show you how you can get the loan done without having to come up with all that $50,000.
Oh, okay.
There are ways to make that work.
Okay.
So you need to have a lender that's able to help you on those appraisal concessions. That's the difference between what the list price and appraise price is and what you're paying for it.
Okay.
Those things need to be prepared before you ever start going out there to make an offer.
Some of you probably are listening to thinking, why are these houses, going on the market and then going through this, quote unquote, bidding process? I'll give you one answer, and it is the true answer. The realtors create this, and they're doing it on purpose. So a realtor knows that on the front side that, I've got Kurt's house here. You know what? I'm pretty sure that when it's all said and done, it'll bring $600,000. I'm not going to put it on the market at $600,000. I'm going to put it on the market at $550,000. And I'm going to get those 18 people to come in and bid the thing up. And you know what? At the end of the day, I might get $610,000 or $620,000 out of the deal, even though it's only worth probably $600,000. But I'm not going to start at $600,000 because I'll get a bidding frenzy going, and I'm better off at $550,000 than I am at $600,000. The realtors are creating this, not the seller, by the way. Am I right, Kurt?
You are so close. People will take that $600,000 and they'll say, okay, I'll start it at $575,000. So everybody thinks it's a deal. Let me see if I can steal this one. No.
Folks, there's no deal there. They're doing this on purpose.
There's actually a little sitcom about that on Facebook.
That's
with
right.
About an apple.
That's
how
right.
The apple starts out at $5 and ends up at $300,000.
Right.
And a guy that wasn't even planning on bidding on apples.
That's right.
And
by the way, I'm not faulting anybody. No. I'm just telling you that's what's happening.
It's
so if some of you
frenzy.
Out there are thinking, why is this going on? Well, the reason is there's realtors that are doing this on purpose. They want that.
It's a feeding frenzy.
And
you get
caught
up in it.
They again, to Kurt's point, they make it sound like this thing's going to really be a great deal on the front side. But, the reality is at the end of the day, you're bidding against 10 or 20 other people. And you're bidding.
And you know you are.
You're bidding.
And you got one chance.
And by the way, you also better bring everything else to the table that you're willing to concede on to win that house. What I mean by that is the people, living in it now may need to stay in it 60 days. Maybe their new house isn't done yet, or maybe they're moving across country and the new job doesn't start for 60 days or
yep.
Whatever the case may be. You better be willing to even allow them to stay for a couple of months. By the way, make sure that's all in writing so you don't get caught on them squatting and you losing the house altogether, because that can also happen. So make sure all this is done in writing and handled and so on. That's what your realtor is there for.
One of the things you're going to see if you're out bidding for homes, you're going to be pushed on the fact that you have to waive the inspection. You can have it, but it cannot stop you from buying the house.
Right.
So you got to be careful in that. When you understand when you're going forward, in order for your loan to be considered sometimes, those that will waive the inspection get pushed to the top of the list.
Mm-hmm.
The second one about that, the loan termination deadline date, which is your last opportunity to walk, that's also being waived. So when you decide if you win the bid and you give them the money, it's non-refundable if you don't close.
Yeah, if you give them $25,000 of earnest money and you don't close, they're keeping it.
They're keeping the money.
So that's the other thing also that's happening
right now.
That's
where the approval comes in. You better be ready for what you're facing.
Well, and like I said, you know, the other thing that you need to be able to do, number one, is act fast.
Yep.
Number two, be able to make some of these concessions on the house and know ahead of time if it's you and your spouse or partner or whatever the case may be that's on the buying side. You need to know on the front side, what are you willing to concede to? Because the realtor will tell you, hey, these are most likely the offers on this place. That's that experience level Kurt
that's
talked
right.
about a moment ago. A good realtor will be able to say, here, I'm pretty sure that this is a particular house where you're going to need to make X, Y, and Z concession or you're not going to be in the running at all.
And you can't have a contingency. I need to sell my house
first.
Oh,
shoot, no. You're done.
No,
don't even bid.
You're going to be number 28.
Yeah, because you've got a California cash buyer willing to buy it way ahead of you.
Yes.
And I didn't exaggerate in what I just said, by the way.
No.
Because they are out there.
One of the 18 offers was $70,000 over their asking price cash.
Cash offer. So folks, this is the real world.
That fast.
So I then take what Kurt just said, and I go back to some of you as appraisers and say, tell me that house isn't worth that. When somebody's paying cash, tell me the house isn't worth that.
They still have to meet guidelines, but there are...
This isn't funny money.
No,
my point
real.
Is this isn't money we're borrowing and then adding to or whatever. These are people that have cash willing to pay X money for the house. To me, that means that's the value of the house. I'm sorry. It's no different than a car, folks.
I think the same way.
I've used this example on cars to even some folks outside of the show here when I've been off air, and the reality is, even though I don't think used car prices right now are accurate, they're not.
No.
Folks, they're not. I explained to somebody, I think you all listening the other day, that you know the person that I buy all my fleet vehicles from and through was telling Richard and Walt and I a story the other day of a dealer that he knows. There's no inventory. There's a gentleman trading in a 2018 Duramax truck with 25,000 miles on. So it's a Chevy Duramax diesel truck, 25,000 miles. This gentleman is trading it in and getting the value of, not what they're selling it for, but he's getting the value on a trade towards a new truck of more than he paid for the truck in 2018.
3 years ago.
Do I feel like that's the real value of that truck? Absolutely not. But is it the value today? Absolutely it is.
Yeah.
Because that's what people are paying. Why? Because there's no new trucks being made, or there's hardly any being made, and there's nothing on the lots, so that's driving the price of a used car up. Same is happening in the housing world, folks. It's no different. It's exactly the same scenario. Am I right?
Yes. I see it all the time.
And by the way, like it or not, it's what's happening.
Yeah.
Now, will some of that slow down? Yes, of course it will. You know, as we get more inventory levels back on either, you know, homes itself or on the car end of things, as those inventory levels increase, yes, some of this will slow down. Although I'll tell you that I think on the car world and I think in the housing world, we're 9 to 12 months away from that.
One of the reasons that I think it's going to last for over a year, for those homes that are going for over, the people that can only pay and come with the 5 or 10 or 20% down, they still want to buy a home. So they've stepped out of the market.
But they'll step back in.
Once the homes become available, there's another brand new set of people going to get back in the game.
You are 100% correct.
So it's going to last for a while.
I agree with Kurt. I think that same thing is going to happen along with the things we talked about when we opened up the show today in regards to the amount of people that are now buying houses that weren't prior, even some of the baby boomers. You know, here's the other thing, by the way, on the baby boomers. This was a prediction, and we've had guests on this show talking about this that has not come true, by the way. There were folks out there that even wrote books on this that said by now there'd be this plethora of homes for sale because baby boomers would be living in the assisted living. Guess what? They're not.
Yeah.
They're not living in assisted living. They're actually picking which house of one of two of three do they want to go live in right now.
That's right.
That's what baby boomers are doing. They're not living in a nursing home, folks.
No.
In fact, they're living longer than most of these people predicted they would. Mm-hmm. And they're getting into their 75, you know, 70s, even 80s, and they're feeling really good, and they're loving life and enjoying it, and they're not living in a nursing home.
Especially in Colorado with this.
Yeah, they're not living in a nursing home,
no.
Folks. So some of these predictions that folks had, you know, even 2-3 years ago, 5 years ago, I interviewed folks along these lines. They didn't. I've got books on my shelf that talk about the very thing I'm discussing with you. It didn't happen.
Nope.
Will it? I don't think it will, actually. These folks are going to live for a while, and they're going to enjoy themselves all the way to the end.
Yes, they are.
So, anyways. All right.
I have a guy in that he's 68, and mm-hmm. he's getting ready, and he's got three homes. He's got one, and he wants to buy a fourth in Arizona.
That proves my point.
Yeah.
All right. Do you need a disclaimer or no?
Affordable Interest Mortgage, Denver, Colorado, NMLS 298191. Our phone number is 720-895-0500. We are regulated by DORA and effective today. We are officially licensed to do loans in Arizona.
Yay!
Yes, very much. So if you're looking at second home or investments,
awesome.
We can definitely help you there.
Fabulous. All right. We'll be right back, folks. Along these same lines, we talk with Kurt and we talk about houses and retirement and future planning and so on. Talk to Al Smith as well. Find out how you wrap your financial future, your retirement and so on into what we're talking about right now. His number 303-744-1128 or find him at klzradio.com.
These three factors will determine the size of your nest egg in retirement, how much you set aside, what sort of return you get on that money, and the age you start saving. Now, you can't turn back the clock and start saving for retirement sooner, but you can start planning right now, whether you're 46 or 66. Ask Al Smith of Golden Eagle Financial how to create a new, tax-free income in retirement so you can make your money last. You've already done the heavy lifting by contributing to your 401k or IRA all these years. Now it would be wise to have another separate investment account funded with after-tax dollars so that in the event of a financial emergency, you don't need to borrow or extract funds that are earmarked for retirement. We have no idea what will happen to the tax code in the future, so make certain a portion of your assets will continue to grow tax-free and generate tax-free income in the future. Fill out the contact form at klzradio.com/money to set up a free consultation with Al Smith. Advisory services offered through Foundation Investment Advisors, an SEC-registered investment advisor.
Stay up to date with Rush to Reason after the show on Twitter at Rush to Reason and on Facebook.com/Rush to Reason.
All right, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Kurt Rogers exiting now as we speak. Again, anything you need from Kurt, please. He's a phone call away, 720-895-0500. I love talking to Kurt, as you can tell. A lot of great information. And for those of you that are looking for a place to, you know, put some money, have some investment, fight off inflation, he's got a lot of great programs and ideas that would work for you. Tomorrow, Andy Pate's going to have a new movie review. It's going to be Those Who Wish Me Dead with Angelina Jolie. And then movie rental reviews, myself, Andy, and Richard. We're going to do tomorrow. By the way, start texting these in. Favorite movies from the 80s. And then George Barna, who, by the way, does a lot of great research. We're going to talk about millennials and how they're driving a seismic generational worldview shift away from their faith. We'll have traffic and weather updates as well tomorrow, so don't forget about that. And we'll head you into the weekend as well. If you missed first hour, it is next. This is Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560.